Well, good morning. Certainly good to be here this first day of the week. And this morning, I want to speak, titled my lesson, Evangelism Through the Eyes of Noah. And so over the past several months, we've been talking about evangelism and how we can reach out to others and spread the word in today's world. And our men's group this last winter and spring, that was our focus, was evangelism, reaching to others. Mark recently did a class on evangelism, and of course Kyle has preached on it. And so that made me think back on the times of Noah. When the world was so corrupt and so immoral to the point that God would destroy the earth by flood, it made me think about the challenges Noah must have had trying to teach in a corrupt world. Understanding Noah's challenges makes our efforts today seem much more doable. So let's look briefly at the early years of Noah, before the time when God would call on him. So almost 11 centuries after the creation of Adam and Eve, Lamech had a son who he called Noah. 1,056 years of time had passed between Adam and Noah's birth. Well, let's break that down even further. Methuselah was Noah's grandfather and was a contemporary with Adam for Adam's last 243 years. From this, we can conclude that Methuselah knew of the events of the Garden of Eden and the provisions that God gave to Adam and Eve, as well as their downfall when they disobeyed God and ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil in Genesis 2:17, and brought sin into the world. And it's a sin that would manifest itself over the next 11 centuries. Then there was Lamech, who was Noah's father, who was 182 years old when Noah was born. And Lamech was 56 when Adam died, and I think clearly understood of Adam and Eve's downfall as well, and the curse of God. In Genesis 5:28-29, it says, Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. Now, this curse mentioned is a reference back to Genesis 3:17, when God would curse, speaking to Adam, and God would curse the ground. Methuselah and Lamech learned of God from Enoch, who was Noah's great-grandfather. They had heard him preach and saw the example of his noble life. Enoch lived during the last 308 years of Adam's life. It was said of Enoch that he walked with God and then God took him. Enoch was a true man of God, one who was in complete fellowship and obedience to God. And at 365 years, God took him to be in his presence in Genesis 5:24. So I outline all of this to demonstrate the overlap of time between Adam and Noah's life and how Enoch, Methuselah, and Lamech lived for some period of time during Adam and Eve's life and knew of their downfall. For Noah, these three men must have made a deep impression on him, including all the way back to the time of Adam and when sin was first brought into the world. We can see Noah was taught from men of godly influence in his earlier years. But now, many years later, we see that God chooses Noah at 480 years old to build an ark. And God gave man another 120 years, as we see from Genesis 6:3, to repent before he would bring on the flood. In Genesis 6:8-9, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 9, at the end, Noah walked with God. Noah was a righteous man. But now, as we see during the days of Noah, the Bible tells us terrible things were happening. There was much wickedness, and the whole of man refused to obey God. So we can see from the time of Adam and Eve up to the time over 11 centuries later how sin continued to grow and spread to the point God would destroy everything by flood. In Genesis 6:5-7, it says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. To me, these are some of the saddest verses in the Bible. In these words, we sense the passion of the Lord in that he had desired so much for humanity, and that they would be faithful and obedient. And yet he was so overwhelmingly disappointed to the point he would destroy all living things that were on earth, with exception of Noah and his family. We saw how man's heart did evil continually, and we can see that happening today. We saw how man did nothing that was pure or noble or good or honorable, and again, we can see that happening today as well. Genesis 6 teaches that the whole of man became so wicked as to go beyond the point of return. God would destroy them. All except Noah, God had a plan for Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in Genesis 6:8, which we just read. Even amongst all the sin and corruption around him, Noah stood with God. Noah was a great man who lived in the midst of a runaway immorality. Do you ever feel that way today when you look around at things happening? I do. But we have to be like Noah and stand with God. Noah is a great example that it is possible to live righteously even in the midst of unrighteousness. Other than Noah, we also have many other characters in the Bible who were righteous and were great examples. We can look to Daniel and Abraham and Moses and Jeremiah. We can look to the Apostle Paul, all great men whose story is much like Noah's, righteous men. But now I want to discuss for a few moments and take a little more closely look at the life of Noah. And there are five attributes I think Noah displayed. And all these attributes we're about to see in Noah can also be in us. The first attribute, Noah was a man of courage. Noah was courageous because he stood alone against a wicked world. He had the godly influence from his grandfather and father and even great-grandfather. He had a foundation that would help him in these perilous times to be courageous, to stand for truth, even when everyone else wasn't. We see many today falling away into the deceitfulness of the world because of the worldly influences from family, from friends, could be coworkers or fellow students even, because they mocked him for their belief. Noah was courageous because the mockers didn't stop him. Let us look to Noah's example and be like Noah. Noah in his day always spoke boldly in God's name. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. And also in 1 Corinthians 16:13, in a little bit tougher language, it says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Noah preached many years without a single convert, where only his family heeded his preaching. So when we think we might have it tough reaching out to others, think of Noah and what he was up against. Noah, to his credit, did not become discouraged, nor did he ever doubt the message. We can see many becoming discouraged today. Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Noah kept on sowing the seed only to find it fall on hard ground. But we need to remember in 1 Corinthians 3:6, where it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That is to say, our part is to plant the seed and let the word take it from there. So in our courage, we must do as Noah did. We must reach out, preach the word. We must teach the truth, defend the faith, plant the seed to others, and let God's word take it from there. The second attribute is Noah was just and perfect. Genesis 6:9 tells us this, the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. These words, just and perfect, together means to have a genuine righteousness, to do what is right. And the phrase walked with God, which was also spoken of Enoch, his great-grandfather, indicates a continual pattern in his life of faith and obedience. Noah's life was in stark contrast to the rest of the people in the world at that time. Matthew 5:48 tells us, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. All throughout Scripture, God speaks of being perfect. He is the standard of perfection, but obviously we have all sinned and we can't be perfect as God is perfect. But God had a way for us out of his great love for us. He brought his perfect Son to become perfection on our behalf, and our imperfections or sins should lead us to the gospel of Christ. In Jesus, our sins can be forgiven and we can be in a right standing with God. God provides for us a way to be perfected by way of being faithful servants. But it requires us to be righteous and obedient. Psalms 119, 171 through 174, I think describes who Noah was and who we should be. And it said, my lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts or commandments. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Are we living by these words? Are we praising God daily? Are we looking to his word daily? Are we speaking the word to others? Are we longing for that heavenly home for ourselves and others? Something to think about. Third attribute, Noah lived by faith. We're all familiar with Hebrews 11:6 that says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But in the next verse, in verse 7, it spoke of Noah saying, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Notice that Noah moved with godly fear and prepared the ark. These actions describe the faith of Noah. If Noah would not have been a man of action, he would not have been a man of faith. In James 2, 22 and verse 24, it says, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So we can see our faith produces works of obedience. No man was ever blessed on the account of faith until that faith manifested itself in acts of obedience. Fourth attribute, Noah had a godly fear. Again, as we just read in Hebrews 11:7, it said that Noah moved with godly fear. This godly fear was the thing that moved Noah to obey. Noah was one who understood the majesty of God and knew he was to have respect and reverence for God. To have godly fear means to have a reverence for God. What does that mean? If we were to define it, I think it would mean to express a deep sense of adoration or awe and honor to God in recognition of his holiness, sovereignty and love. It causes one to stay on the side of righteousness at all times. It causes a person to accurately obey the will of God. It's being unwilling to do anything that would cause God to be displeased. Hebrews 12:28-29 tells us, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Our God is a consuming fire. And then the fifth and final attribute, Noah was obedient to God. We've already spoke a lot on obedience and these other attributes, but it just shows how these all intertwine together. Obedience is probably the one word that best described Noah. One cannot be courageous or just or faithful and have a godly fear unless he is obedient. God told Noah to build an ark and gave him exact dimensions and a list of materials to be used. Genesis 7:5 says, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." Noah was given a pattern and he obeyed. Today we have been given a pattern to be obedient. And that is the God-breathed word and the church. How is that pattern to be followed? Well, I think by obedience. An obedience that is found on the infallible and authoritative word of God, and a faith that is not blind but informed and guided by God's perfect word. Obedience is being submissive to a higher authority, in this case, God, the ultimate authority. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And Galatians 2:20 tells us, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me." So what is it that we must do each day? Well, we should look to the Word. Be a part of a church family. Be strengthened by others of like precious faith. You know, God in his wisdom, he knew we would all need help getting to heaven. We need the encouragement and edification of others in our daily lives. What would have happened to Noah's Ark had he not obeyed God's plan? Well, we can only imagine that the ark would have never sailed or would have sunk at some point, and Noah and all on board would have perished and been lost. Today, if we do not build our faith according to God's pattern, we too will be lost. Noah was saved through his faith and obedience, and the question is, will we? And I think the answer is yes, if we will live as Noah did. So Noah is an example that we should emulate. We can see he was courageous in his stand for the truth, despite opposition, had a genuine righteousness, was faithful without wavering, full of godly fear. He understood the power of God and obedient in that he did all God told him to do. You know, water cleansed the world of filth in Noah's day. And today, the waters of baptism can wash away the filth of our sins. If we have heard the word and believe it and repent it in our heart and will confess Christ as our Savior and be baptized for remission of our sins and live faithfully, we too can be a faithful and obedient servant like Noah. So let us all strive to be like Noah, a man of God.